Hello, I'm Russell Lynch, I'm a director at Powers Court, and welcome to the latest edition of the Powers Court Friday Fix podcast. This week, I'm joined by Mishkonda Reyes, Head of Politics and Law, Katie Coulton, who's here to talk us through efforts to update the Official Secrets Act, a campaign led by Powers Court's Public Affairs team with the support of Mishkon and Matrix Chambers. Thanks for coming in, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
Can you talk us through the background to this? How's it come about? What is Powers Court, Mishkon and Matrix trying to achieve?
So the Queen's speech is obviously next week on the 10th of May, and we expect that the government will introduce a form of espionage bill. This was in the Queen's speech in 2021 and also 2019, but we ran out of legislative time based on COVID and economic issues, Partygate obviously, and what's going on in Ukraine. And so we expect to see a new counter-state threats bill next week. Official secrets legislation is quite outdated. It's not been updated since the Cold War and the threats that the country was facing in those days. And we've recently seen a report by the ISC, Russia Report, the Intelligence and Security Committee of Parliament, that said our counter-state threats legislation is just not fit for purpose. It doesn't deal with the threats that the country is facing, for instance, cyber threats, we've seen interference with elections, and the laws that we have are not fit for purpose in that realm. And our campaign is focused on a single issue. What we want to see is that in any updates to official secrets legislation, we include a public interest defence.
Right.
And what we mean by that is that where a civil servant or a journalist who's handed material that is protected by official secrets legislation, where that material uncovers wrongdoing, that those individuals should be able to disclose that information in a very focused way if it's in the public interest and be protected from prosecution.
Now, that was one of the recommendations of the Law Commission, wasn't it?
That's absolutely right. The Law Commission has been investigating this issue for 5 years, and the report that they came out with last year said that for our legislation to comply with the European Convention on Human Rights, and particularly Article 10 on freedom of information, that we need to include a public interest defence.
Now, how would this public interest defence work in practice? And can you talk us through some of the implications?
Absolutely. So where a civil servant or a journalist who's been provided information from a civil servant holds information that's covered by official secrets legislation and they suspect wrongdoing, that information exposes wrongdoing, if they reveal that information, then they are liable to be prosecuted for a criminal act and they have no defence in law. And so what we are proposing, what our campaign is proposing, is that a public interest defence operates where the burden is on the defendant, the person disclosing information, to show that the information they hold, A, is in the public interest, and B, that their method of disclosure is in the public interest. And that second part is really important because it protects against so-called data anarchists or data dumpers, your WikiLeaks kind of information.
Yeah, where it's just bad news for Julian Assange.
Exactly. Where people just disclose whole swathes of information, not knowing whether that information is in the public interest or not, and that can cause damage to our national security. We want to avoid that. It's obviously, there is a careful balancing exercise between protecting information that is necessary to be secret for our national security, but also making sure that the government is held to account. And that is a necessary element of a healthy working democracy. And that is why we want the two-stage approach, where we want to protect people who hold information of wrongdoing, but think carefully about how they disclose that in a really targeted way. So it's not just, oh, here's some information that may be of interest to the wider public and we are just dumping it online. That is not what we're after.
Right, okay. So who are the campaign's political supporters in Parliament?
So we've had supporters from across the political spectrum. I think people who are particularly interested in civil liberties, so people like David Davis, who've long held supported information and legislation that is directed at civil liberties. But we've also had other high profile members of the Conservative Party, such as Robert Buckland, who's written a few op-eds and he has supported the introduction of a public interest defence.
Can you tell us how this would work in practice with a sort of obviously a famous and practical example regarding Catherine Gunn, the civil servant who famously leaked a memo ahead of the Iraq war, would she have been protected under this legislation?
It's a really interesting question and a really great example to think about. And obviously, Catherine Gunn was the focus of a recent film, Official Secrets, that talks about all these issues. So Catherine Gunn was actually acquitted, but the judge directed the jury to say there is no defence and there's no public interest defence in law that protects what she did. Mm. But she was acquitted on a necessity defence, that she had to do this, it was necessary. And that was almost a public interest defence by the back door. And right. What we're saying is, if this is being run and this has been considered by juries, but there is no statutory framework in which to consider, was this in the public interest, was it not, then that's quite dangerous and it leads to unpredictable outcomes. And really, we need to codify this in statute so that there is a proper public interest defence that would protect people like Catherine Gunn.
So it's a sort of formalisation of the process.
Exactly.
Right, okay. How does it compare with whistleblowing legislation in the private sector, or the classic thing as a former journalist, the public interest defence in journalism? It seems very similar to that, but are there any quirks or differences?
We've drafted how we think the defence should run, and we've based that on employment law and regulatory sector. And we've seen that in those sectors, when a public interest defence was created, it didn't lead to anarchy and it didn't lead to mass disclosure, mass whistleblowing. It just protected those people who could legitimately rely on public interest. And the burden, like we're saying for official secrets legislation, the burden in both the employment sector and the regulatory sector is on the person disclosing to show that it was in the public interest and that the method of disclosure was in the public interest. And so we are mirroring that in what we're seeking to achieve.
So do you think you can square the circle of Sir Humphrey Appleby in Yes Minister, the sort of you can be open or you can have government, you can't do both? You think you can do that with this defence?
Absolutely. I think in a modern functioning democracy where the security services are going to have increased powers through a new espionage bill or a counter-state threats bill, I think there has to be checks and balances. That is exactly how democracy works. And I think a good example in the modern context of how this may work is, for instance, if a civil servant or a journalist obtains information that, for instance, and this is a hypothetical example, for instance, the UK was sending arms to Russia in the context of the Ukraine crisis, but that information was not being disclosed to the public, then that is material that should be disclosed, and that those who are making those disclosures have a defence and they can show that the way that they've disclosed it and the information and the value of information is in the public interest.
It's not as if we're groundbreaking here either, because other countries have done very similar things, haven't they?
Absolutely. I think in the context of the security services, we have to look at the Five Eyes countries. And three of the Five Eyes countries, Australia, Canada and New Zealand, have introduced a version of the public interest defence. And our research indicates that the introduction of a public interest defence in those jurisdictions has not led to an increase in the leaking of state secrets.
Okay. Well, this is a really, really interesting topic, and obviously we will be looking at the Queen's speech and following the campaign as it goes on. Thank you for talking us through it, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.